Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Four Person Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your enthusiastic and faithful Catholic apostolate. For more information about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog site at thefourpersons.net. To call in tonight with your comment or question, dial 515-602-9655. The number, again, is 515-602-9655.
Live on Blog Talk Radio and live on Facebook Live at the same time. And if my voice sounds a little funny, it's because I'm still recovering from dental surgery. But anyway, we wanted to do this this morning, and we got an important topic to talk about. So first of all, let me tell you where you can catch. If you're catching one side, let me tell you where you can catch the other side. The Blog Talk Radio show is at blogtalkradio.com/the4persons with the number four. So it's T-H-E, the number four, persons. And if you want to catch the Facebook Live, you can catch that on my Facebook, which is part of the Four Persons Facebook group. And the address of my Facebook is facebook.com/john.benko735. So now let's go back to the Blog Talk Radio show, and I want to bring on my co-host, Lewis. Lewis, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, brother. I hope you're recovering from your operation. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Just a little bit of swelling still, and that's what's not really soreness, but swelling, and that's what's kind of causing the funny modulation in my voice. And that'll subside over time. First of all, I asked you a question you didn't get a chance to answer me, so I wanted to know, have you seen the movie Nefarious yet?
I have not. So what's it about, brother?
Okay, so there are a lot of Catholics that have been as a must-see for Catholics. And it does deal with some very, very Catholic themes. And the story is about a convicted murderer who is a psychiatrist is brought in to do a last-minute exam to determine whether the person is competent to move forward with execution. So it's a pretty dark theme. And I feel like the movie deals with some of these themes loosely. It kind of addresses them. So first, I'm going to start by reading just a quick review that I wrote last night. These were thoughts off the top of my head. Then I'm going to read what a Facebook friend posted and then kind of get into the discussion of what we think on this. These were my thoughts last night when I came home. I spent the nearly 20-minute return trip from the theater pondering exactly what it was about the movie Nefarious that left me somewhat disappointed. I thought at first that maybe it was because there's a very short list of movies over the years that have really overwhelmed me and impressed me. Certainly, The Passion of the Christ was one of those. United 93 was another. And maybe at some level, I'm too hard to impress. Then again, maybe it was that I set expectations too high, given the lofty reviews that I had read. One noted Catholic blogger gave it 10 stars out of 10. It's quite a review. I became even more perplexed at my own disappointment when I examined the main conflict that's explored in the movie, which is one that I have championed for years, and it's one at the forefront of me forming this apostolate, the four persons. And that's basically based on the fact that Mark 12 says, we love the Lord our God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our whole strength. Those four persons are what make up a human being. And atheism has so infiltrated the psychiatric profession that they act like two of those four persons, the spiritual and the emotional, don't really exist. So what does that leave us? That leaves us robots. We're robots that are subject to physical impulses and chemical processes. In the plot line, the psychiatrist simply cannot accept the possibility that some of these people claim to be possessed or obsessed or influenced by demons really are. I think this is a very...
As a therapy major myself that made the mistake of studying therapy in college, I can concord to this. That really helped the spiritual aspect of the person, and that's something I never really saw it that way. That also explains the name of our show, the four persons.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back, that is very true. And when you take out the spirit, nothing but with secularism, and as we know, secularism is very subjective. It's always changing back and forth, right and left,
mm-hmm.
up and down. A few years ago, like we discussed, homosexuality was seen as a mental disorder, a chemical imbalance in the body, and now it's being viewed and taught and pushed as something normal, more normal than it actually ever was.
Right.
You know, gay for him, how do you know it's not spend his life? I don't know, the world has always been predominantly straight. How do you know that? He replied. And my response is, because that is just the natural way of things. In order for humanity to keep on multiplying, we have to be the majority. And even then, statistically speaking, even if you count the ones that were higher in the sexuality, they're still in the minority. The truth is, which is what they're trying to change, is that most people have no inclination to fake sex attraction. And they also don't take into account that the environment can influence people. We have a very strong surge in same-sex attraction towards children because they'll never admit to it, but they're being conditioned, putting these stuff in schools, reading sexual books to schools, encouraging students that have no desire to experiment. And these things are being championed by the psychological community.
Yeah, you're so right, Lewis. Everything that you're saying is true. And what is the result of that is that we get to the point where we actually deny the concepts of good and evil. And devil loves that. So I want to circle back to some of the evils that are going on in our world today. And there's a surprising number of these school shootings that we are witnessing, in which the shooter is actually claiming that he's being led by the devil, that he's hearing voices, that the demons are telling him to do things. Now, you know, the natural reaction to that is, well, he's mentally ill.
He's schizophrenic, they'll say.
Yeah, so. So the point that I'm trying to... Well, let me finish this. I want to finish this point. So... I want to talk about one in particular, and it's just one that I've seen. There are many instances where this has happened. The one in particular that I want to talk about is a particular school shooter, Nicholas Cruz, who killed 17 people in Parkland, Florida. When he was arrested, and you can find the video on YouTube, when he's arrested, he's openly claiming that he's hearing demons, he's hearing voices. In his prison interviews, he openly professed that he hated Christians, he hated Jesus Christ. Folks, this the idea that we just automatically dismiss this, what does that leave us with? Okay, what does that leave us with? And Lewis, I want to kind of go back and forth with you on this, and let's just follow this through logically. So I'm going to ask you some questions to follow this through logically.
Yes.
If it's not demonic possession, or at least demonic influence, well, then it has to be mental illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mental illness, by definition, by classic definition, is a person who cannot tell the difference between reality and fantasy. A person, the walls are broken down between reality and fantasy. So I started here with this idea that a person who is mentally ill is a person who is not in full possession of their mental faculties. Okay? Well, that means they're not able to appreciate the gravity and consequences of their actions. And the reason I bring this Parkland shooting up is because it was planned out with such precision. It was planned out so methodically that it's hard to say that a mentally ill person did this. Okay? First of all, he boasted on videos that he recorded and online for months that he was going to be a school shooter. Talked about exactly the school that he was going to target. Even talked about the particular day that he was going to do the shooting. And it was a day in which the ROTC people wore their uniforms. Are you back, Lewis?
Yes.
All right. Seems like we got a better connection now. So the question I was discussing is it fair to say that a person who is mentally ill is not in possession of their mental faculties?
Definitely not. We see this all the time with schizophrenics, people with bipolar disorder.
Okay.
I have a friend
All right. So let me just build on that. Okay. So what we're talking about here, and a lot of these killers are described as psychopaths. This is what you're talking about. You're talking about a psychopath, a person who might kill somebody because they think they're a vampire. This person is literally insane. This killer in Florida, Lewis, planned this killing out for months. He bragged on it on videos. He posted on YouTube that he was going to be a school shooter. He spent hours the night before sighting in his gun. He planned the shooting on a particular day that the ROTC participants would be wearing their burgundy and black uniforms so that he could go to school. He was a former student in his burgundy and black uniforms. He was already planning on how he was going to mix into the crowd afterwards. Right? He broke his AR-15 rifle down and put it in a knapsack, and called an Uber driver. And when the Uber driver picked him up, he already had a story made up that it was a band instrument. He was a member of the band, and he was going to perform in one of the concerts. Uber driver dropped him off. He already understood the security apparatus at the school and understood that for their convenience, they actually unlocked the gates like 20 minutes before the kids got out of school. He knew this, and he knew which gate to enter in. And he entered in that gate, and he knew exactly which stairwell to enter into. He walked into that stairwell, reassembled his gun, emerged, and began working his way militaristic-like through the three floors of the school. And in 6.5 minutes, he killed 17 people and wounded 17 others and connected on something like 80-something percent, 84% of his shots. The act was methodical. It was carried out. It was ruthless. Now, I'm sorry, folks. I cannot say this person was not in possession of his mental faculties. There was nothing wrong with his brain. He knew everything that he was doing step by step by step by step. Okay? The problem was with his heart. The problem was with his soul. And we have to stop calling evil mental illness, because what this person did that day was evil. It was not mental illness. Lewis, I want to hear your comments.
I fully agree. And circling back to what psychology is at its core, it was founded as a way to keep spiritual aspects of humanity and religion out of mental therapy. And I mean, like, from the beginning, psychology was always mixed in with things like evolution and which is basically a religion itself. So not only was there a contradiction in their statement on what psychology was, there was a bias. Because Catholics and Protestants, we've always said it, evolution is a religion within itself. But that's diverse. The point is that psychology, from its foundation, was never headed towards a good direction. It's missing key components of, you know, the human thinking. And what we put into our souls, what we consume, it becomes a part of us. I can almost guarantee this person that did all of this had a deep hatred for the school system and had a deep hatred for humanity in some shape. Probably because of how he was raised or, you know, what he was consuming, you know. I also want to point out that going back to the spiritual aspect of things, the mind and soul, they're interconnected. You can't separate one from the other. Our souls can think, you know. But I wanted to add to that too. There's something, like you said, we can't call evil
mental illness.
A mental illness, even though evil is a disease, it's a disease to spread by choice. I mean, people that are confused can do evil things, but we have to be able to identify what evil is, and psychology has a habit of neutralizing everything. And when you make everything gray, and you make it impossible to distinguish good from evil, these problems are naturally just going to happen. There has to be an objective concept of good or evil. This is why there are therapists that, for example, will, let's say the age of consent. We all know that the age of consent should always be at least, at minimum, 18. Now, there are therapists who would say that that's subjective because it depends on, you know, what country you go to. But just because something is different in another country doesn't make it, you know, objectively right. Like, in Japan, I'm pretty sure in English countries, the age of consent is 14. A grown adult woman or man can legally engage in sexual relations with a 13 or 14-year-old. That's disgusting. And they'll say that they can turn around and say, well, that's my culture. It teaches me to think it's, you know, this age. But I would say, no, it's not just my culture. It's just that that's the truth. That is, scientifically speaking, the truth. That is when people reach adulthood.
Right. So let me circle this back to the movie. This is why I was so disappointed with the movie. It's not that the movie didn't explore a much-needed theme. It sure did. And the acting of Sean Patrick Flannery as the killer, who kept going back and forth, as the killer himself, who was this broken, beaten man, and the demon who was possessing him. Sean Patrick Flannery played the role brilliantly. He really did. The movie made me feel disappointed in the way that I'm disappointed when a debater with a slam dunk case loses the debate in style points because of a flat delivery. In my view, the movie left you wanting for more. They gave you some very, very good, strong theology, some very, very good, strong acting, some very, very good, strong development of these points and themes that need to be made, but there just wasn't enough. In the end, the movie was too short. The characters were not developed enough to really make it hit home. Also want to talk about two other real problems that I had with the movie. And one of them,
Brother, you're cutting off again. Brother?
Anyway, I want to. The priest was the weakest figure in this movie, which is really, really troubling.
Hollywood has a habit of just making religious characters and the lean towards Christianity look bad. Even people on the opposite spectrum can see it. They did the same thing with the movie based on J.R.R. Tolkien, the famous Catholic, and I do have to emphasize Catholic, the famous Catholic writer that created The Lord of the Rings, which in itself is a Catholic book. Hollywood completely took out his faith from the movie. So Hollywood has a very strong hatred and bias towards, you know, Christian figures.
All right, Lewis, just so you know, somebody just messaged me on Facebook that the audio problems are on your end. They're hearing me perfectly. It's you that's fading in and out. So I think there might be, again, something wrong with your connection. Are you in a bad cell location?
It could probably be that. I mean, I'm in my room. I could probably switch over to the computer. I can probably switch over to my computer since I'm dialing in through phone.
All right, well, let's just try to work through this then. But I just wanted to advise you of that. So the other thing that bothered me about the movie is that the person – well, first of all, they named the person, the psychiatrist, was named James Martin. Now, I don't know if that name was chosen but just by coincidence, but – that almost seems like that was a swipe at Catholic Christians, conservative Catholic Christians, who are very unhappy about Father James Martin, the rogue liberal priest. It almost seems like that was too much to be a coincidence. And the other thing is that he never does commit to making a full conversion to Christianity as a result of this experience. Now, this psychiatrist, after he watches, becomes possessed himself by the entity, and then is freed of that. If that's not enough to make convert to Christianity, I don't know what would be. And then the person doing the interview, in order to, at the last stroke of taking away from the credibility of the movie, the person doing the interview is none other than Glenn Beck. Now, I don't have anything personal against Glenn Beck, but he's a Mormon. He's a Mormon, okay? And a Mormon is not an example of Orthodox Christianity in any way, sense, shape, sense, or form. Not only not Catholic Christianity, but even mainline Protestant Christianity, Mormons are outside of the mainstream of rational Christian thought. And to me, it just shot the credibility of this movie that Glenn Beck doing the interview. Let me bounce back to your thoughts on that.
Again, it just shows you their narrative that they don't want accurate representation or positive representation or even neutral representation of Christianity. They want bad representation, negative. They want to make us look as bad as possible. And going back to what you said about, like, James Martin, that was clearly not a coincidence. I agree with you. But they have a habit of using the technique similar to what we discussed Protestants when they're Italian Catholics. They take the worst out of Christianity and, you know, and they just ignore all of the good. They take the controversy, you know, they take everything negative and they only, and they leave out all the positive. And this is the fact that they're doing Mormons that we disagree. They don't even believe, to my knowledge, that Christ is the Savior. And they also added, you know, in addition to, like, how mainline Protestants, they remove seven books, Mormons take it even worse. They take it even farther. They add a book to Scripture.
Right. So and the Mormon and the Mormon view of Jesus Christ and the Mormon view of the Trinity is just whack. I want to defer real quick. Our good friend, my good friend from Facebook, Chantal Rains, is listening to the show across the pond, as it were. She's actually in the Philippines, which is a long, long way away from here. And I'm calling on her into joining the blog. Hint, hint, hint. She's a fabulous writer. I'm trying to strong arm her into being a writer. So not to put her on the spot, but I'm putting her on the spot. Chantal, I just wanted you to go ahead and type up any thoughts that you might have. First of all, have you seen the movie? And what are your thoughts on tonight's discussion? Just be interested in hearing what you have to say. So I'll be waiting for her response if she can still hear me. So overall, while I'm waiting for her thoughts, overall, I was disappointed with the movie. I thought it had some very, very good things in it, some strong themes in it. You know, there wasn't much that was bad about the movie, but there were some things that were bad about it. And the things that were good about the movie were very good, but there just wasn't enough of it. So we had one blogger that said he would give the movie 10 out of 10 stars. I would give the movie 5 out of 10 stars. But Lewis, I would invite you to still go see it because maybe you'll have a different opinion than me. But me and Deborah Rojas are both of the same opinion that the movie was a disappointment. And I know that goes across, goes against what many of our friends have said. But do you know anybody else that's going to see the movie, Lewis? And what have you heard back?
Some of the friends from my Catholic, some of my brothers from my Catholic Bible study are thinking of seeing it. But personally, I haven't heard anything from the movie. Although I don't have strong expectations because, like what I said before, Hollywood has a habit of, you know, when they're making a supposedly Christian movie, it's always with a bad intention, something up their sleeves. So I don't expect much from this movie at all. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. I was listening to your thoughts.
It's the same thing. Going back to the Tolkien movie, fans were outraged that they left out that he was a Catholic because that's what, you know, Roland wanted life. They made him look like a completely secular person, and he was far from that. His religion, his Catholic faith, it was who he was. And, I mean, they just have a habit of doing this Hollywood. So I don't expect much from these movies.
Yeah, they have I also want to say say hi to Sherry Maestro Mallorca, who is also tuning in. She's also from the Philippines, so we're ahead in the Philippines today. But they do that. I mean, Tolkien was clearly the Lord of the Rings series was clearly, and I'm talking about the books. It was clearly an apology for Catholicism. He was using allegorical stories to evangelize the Catholic faith. And Hollywood has made that into anything but that. But they do that with everything. All of our holidays have been secularized. All of our beliefs have been washed down and secularized. And I thought that this movie, had a chance to deal with the secularization of the psychiatric profession and the corrosive effects that it has had. I thought they had a great platform. Anita Rawsthorne, I'm having a hard time speaking, Anita, I told you the dental work, but she says hi from England, and we're glad you're tuning in. Again, we are on Blog Talk Radio right now at blogtalkradio.com/the4persons, and simulcasting on Facebook Live, and let me give you the Facebook Live address again. That is facebook.com/john.benko.735. So this is the first time we've tried this to Facebook Live. Let me get to...
Let me mute myself so maybe, because I do think you're right. It is my end. I'll mute myself, and you know, when it's my turn to talk, I'll mute myself.
Okay. It really helps viewers understand the mind of the devil and his demonic ways. Bluntly, that's just about the last thing I want to do. Over the course of my writing career, there have been many times when I researched demonic activity. I found it neither exciting nor fascinating in any way. You know what I found? Found it instead tragic, disgusting, sad, nauseating. I'm pretty sure this puts me in good company. The saints were certain that the devil existed, that he hates us, that he hates Mary, hates the sacraments, and hates God. All the saints battled the devil in some way, but in all ecclesiastical history, which saint was exciting and intrigued to learn more about the devil? Saint John Vianney was tormented by the devil for years, but he never desired to understand the devil. He was aware that demons existed. He was aware that the devil hates innocence and the innocent. He was aware that the devil is a perpetual sinner. Beyond that, Vianney seemed bored by the devil, and how could it be otherwise? God is all good. God is fascinating. Sin is boring. And though the devil wanted to be like God, the devil became the least like God. The argument is made that certain films help us understand evil better. I find this an odd commentary. Our society is not primarily lacking in the knowledge of sin, for sin itself is a lack. Instead, we're lacking in the knowledge of virtue. We're lacking in the knowledge of holiness. Knowing more about the devil is not necessarily good. In fact, it might be horrifically bad. The minions in hell are well acquainted with the mind of the devil. It hasn't done them any good. After doing my research, I don't want to know more about the devil. I want to know less. One last point. When I researched demonic activity, I realized something. If I were going to do such research, I knew it was imperative that I go to confession more frequently, that I pray the rosary more faithfully, that I attend daily mass, and that I habitually ask the intercession of St. Michael the Archangel. God's grace helped me see the necessity of these things. I trust that my Catholic friends who recommend such films are doing so with the noblest of intentions. But perhaps it might be charitable and wise to understand that some people should definitely not see such films because it can begin a fascination. As for others, can Catholics at least recommend that others go to confession before seeing such movies? Thanks for listening. John, here are my thoughts. I see where you're coming from, and to the extent that people are fascinated in the occult, I agree with you. The problem is the fascination with the occult, in my view, stems from the fact that it's believed to fall into the realm of the make-believe. It's fantasy. It's fun. I think people need to see and hear and understand exactly the nauseating, disgusting devil that you speak of. They need to be repulsed by him. They need to be terrified by him. because they need to understand the danger that they're in. I think it's just about as unchristian a thing as you could do to not warn somebody about the danger that they're in. Fascinated by it, but to force them to be nauseated by it, repulsed by it. That's where I think that this should be going. And in that case, this had a chance to reach that purpose. People should be nauseated by what it is that makes a person walk into a school and shoot 17 people, kill 17 people, 14 of them teenagers. People should be nauseated by what caused Salvador Ramos to walk into a school in Texas and kill 19 kids who were between the ages of 9 and 11. People should be nauseated about what caused Adam Lanza to walk into a school in Connecticut and kill 26 people, 20 of which were children between 5 and 6 years old. That's evil. It's not mental illness. And we have to stop sanitizing it and calling it mental illness. These people are not sick. They're evil. They're evil. It is the devil that is behind this. And the worst thing I think that we can do as Catholics is pretend like the devil doesn't exist or pretend like he's not to be feared. And when I say the devil is to be feared, devil is to be feared if we have the stupidity to think that we can fight him on our own. Fear of the devil should move us towards more confession, just like you said, absolutely, but not stop there. The rosary, more frequent mass, scriptural reading. Yes, Anita brings up a great point. Reading books like The Way of Divine Love is a good reminder of Satan and his works. Philip Naguita, watching from the Philippines. Thank you, Philip. I'm glad you tuned in. Anita is so right. And there's so many of these books like that that deal with the demonic. We're not to be fascinated by the devil. He's just a bully. I mean, that's what he is. What does it take for someone to go in and, I mean, look at the sin of abortion. The devil targets the most vulnerable people for murder. He's a coward. If we forget the fact that he is powerful, that he does have power, we're in a lot of trouble. Let's face it. The devil was God's highest angel. So to say that he doesn't have power, to say that a human being is strong enough to fight with the devil one-on-one under your own human strength, that's a fight you lose, folks. That's a fight you lose, and you better understand that. Paul said, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, thrones and principalities in high places. We're fighting against thrones and principalities here. Now, we do have the upper hand in the battle, so long as we are incorporating our Lord Jesus Christ, incorporating our Blessed Lady in the fight, incorporating Saint Michael and all the angels, and our rosaries, and our miraculous medals, and our sacramentals, and confession, and adoration. As long as we're bringing holy water, as long as we're bringing all these weapons to the fight, it's a different fight. But if we're trying to fight the devil on our own strength, or even worse, not trying to fight him at all because we don't think he exists or we think it's just fantasy, that's where I think we're really in trouble. So that's where I disagree with you, John. I respect your opinion, but I disagree with you. I do think that these things need to be brought to the forefront, need to be brought out in the open much more than they have been. Not for fascination purposes, but to understand the fight that we're in. Lewis, I'd like you to come back on and see if you have any comments about what I just said.
I agree with everything you said. This stuff isn't a mental illness. It's just a mental illness. It is pure evil. And pure evil causes confusion. Now, people, when they are confused, they can do things that they may not want to do under normal clarity, but evil does cause these things to happen. Evil doesn't bring clarity. So, by mutual agreement, it doesn't lead anywhere good. Another big example of what's happening now that the left is trying to hide really badly. I don't know if you've heard this, John, but this happened recently. There have been a massive surge of transgender shootings where, if not normal people, cisgender people, as they like to call us, shooting transgender, is transgender people shooting normal people like us. And they've been happening massively. There was one, or a few of them, that were in multiple different instances where transgender individuals tried to shoot up Christian schools. And again, this is happening now, and the left is trying to hide this and bury it under the rug.
Can I talk to you about something that's really odd? That he can sit there. That we're in right now, we're supposed to recognize mental illness as normal, and we're supposed to recognize evil as mental illness. They really changed the definitions of everything to the point where it rings true. The old saying rings true that a person who doesn't believe in God doesn't believe in nothing. He believes in anything but God. And that's where we're at. We're in a descent into madness in our society, like I thought I would never see. Like I've never imagined that anybody listening. I know, and I appreciate all the folks that are listening, Chantel and Anita and Philip. Are you all on board with me on this? Does it seem like the whole world has just gone completely crazy?
Your thoughts, Lewis?
I would agree. And, you know, even secular people can see this. There was a YouTuber that I listened to, Paul Borey, and he says it because he covers current events. You can see it. The world is straining farther and farther away from God. And as history and scripture shows, when the world starts to do that, people start to do crazy things. But these crazy things are trying to be normalized. Even transgenderism is a perfect example. 10 or 20 years ago, his idea that men could become women, women could become men, they were not taken seriously. Now the world is supposedly, we're supposed to take it seriously and accept that. And it's not just that, you know, that's being pushed now. It's also not just men becoming women, women becoming men, but also people being able to identify as whatever they want. Whatever species, for example, there are people now identifying as animals that are supposed to be now taken seriously. There are people that are identifying at different ages that are supposed to be taken seriously. Truth, without God at the center, truth just disappears. There is no objectivity. And when there is no objectivity, chaos will just naturally reign, just like chaos is reigning right now.
So, Anita Post, the devil is in almost complete control at the moment. Yeah, I would have to agree. And what is scary is that when you read what actual, and I'm talking about recognized Catholic prophecy. I'm not talking about the crazy stuff like Maria Divine Mercy and that Medjugorje and that crazy stuff. I'm talking about actual recognized Catholic prophecy. We are at the time when all of these things, and you can see, do you ever play chess, Lewis?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So when you play chess, you know, thinking one move or two moves, thinking three moves ahead. And they're really, the great chess players, they're five, six, seven moves ahead. You can see the chess pieces moving into position. Even what's happened to our currency and the dollar is under attack and everything is moving towards, you know,
about one world currency.
It is. It's moving to, well, and not only a one world currency, and a single world currency by itself is not dangerous in my view, but the idea of totally electronic currency, the idea that money that changes hands will be non-existent. And this is why we're moving to these electric cars. Anyone that tells you the electric car is better for the environment than a gas car is crazy. They don't understand. But the government can cut the electricity off very easily. And if the government has total control of the money, because it's all electronic, they can cut that off very quickly. So it's not very hard to see these end time prophecies moving into place where the government's going to have complete and total control. And the biggest thing is, the biggest end time prophecy, because of the rise of evil in the world, the love of many would grow cold. That's what the scriptures say. If that's not described in the world that we live in, I don't know what would be. And this show is about why I was disappointed with the movie Nefarious. This is it, folks. They had a great platform. They had a great platform in that movie in order to make this distinction. We are not robots. We are not human beings who are controlled completely by physical impulses and completely by chemical processes. Because if that's the case, this is what Philip says. The world needs to repent because we are in the last day and evils are doing their best to manipulate anyone in our government and those powerful leaders. True. But if sin is not a thing, Philip, we don't have to repent from anything. If I commit adultery today, it's because of the chemical processes in my brain. If I go out and murder somebody, it's because I'm mentally ill. So if we can undefine sin as a thing, undefine the devil as a thing, well, the devil is one. And that was one of the themes that was explored in this movie. It just wasn't explored enough. The demon in the movie kept saying that whenever you do, you will. And I thought, like I said, I thought they explored it. They didn't explore it enough. First of all, Glenn Beck had no, and I don't have anything personal against Glenn Beck. I don't dislike Glenn Beck, but he doesn't have any credibility as anybody speaking theological things. Okay, you believe Joseph Smith was a prophet, okay? You believe in the angel Moroni, M-O-R-O-N-I, okay? If you don't think Joseph Smith was mocking you when he created that religion and named the angel Moroni, okay? I mean, so why would you have somebody that is a spokesman for theological things, for spiritual things? Bottom line is, I think Deliverance Nefarious was a missed opportunity, and I'd be interested to see if there's anybody else that agrees or disagrees with me before I sign off. Lewis, why don't you give me your final thoughts, and then we'll end with a closing prayer.
My final thoughts is everything we discussed. Psychology in itself, even I can't even say it wasn't original that way. It's always been, at least the one that we've been introduced with, like before and last time, it's always been an inescapable tool of bringing down objective truth. And with objective truth, again, there can't be any clarity and there can't be any justice. There can't be any, you know, any order. So, it just goes to show you that's what Satan wants. Satan, as his name, as his title, suggests, he is the king of lies. Lies and subjectivity go hand in hand. If there is nothing objective in the world, then there cannot be any truth in the world. And if there can't be any truth in the world, then we just live in a world full of lies. And that's what Satan wants.
Yep. All right, let me interject something real quick. I wanted to answer a question from Philip. Philip said most of the exorcist priests have recommended the movie Nefarious. I don't know if they recommended it so much as they said that it was better than the other movie that was out. Most of the exorcist priests have pretty much slammed the Russell Crowe movie that was supposedly based on the chief Vatican exorcist, Gabriel Amoroth, the Vatican exorcist. They pretty much slammed that movie as a very bad depiction. And I haven't seen that movie, but from what I've heard about it, Nefarious is better. I'm not saying Nefarious was bad. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I think it's passable. It's just not as good as it could have been. And I think that's the issue, is that they had a chance to make a really bold statement here, and they made a so-so statement. I thought it was a missed opportunity. That's all. And it's just my opinion. Maybe some people would disagree with me. Lewis, would you end us with a closing prayer, please?
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, I say this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I ask that you keep using us as your tools and to keep us focused on you and spreading your gospel in both everything that is written in Scripture and everything that you say orally. I ask that you bring, that you help us bring peace and clarity in a world full of people that have distanced themselves from you, in a world full of people that don't know right from wrong, in a world full of people that hate you and hate us because we serve you. Give us the patience to turn the other cheek when it's necessary, but to still tell the truth with charity and love. Give us the protection we need to keep on saying your word and the courage to face evil when it's necessary, to lay our lives down for you, even if it requires us sacrificing our lives at any given moment.
Amen.
Help us to use our holy fear at your service. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Just want to say some shows coming up on the Four Persons, and after this is over, any of you that are not in the Facebook group, our Four Persons Facebook group, you will be invited, and we hope you tell your friends about us. Some shows that are coming up, and you'll be provided the link for this video and also for the Blog Talk Radio show, so you can enjoy both of them. Some shows that are coming up on Monday, we have the Luke Haskell Show. Now, that's normally going to be a Friday show. So Luke will be on Monday and Friday next week. After that, it'll be a regular Friday show. We just had to move it to Monday this one time. Tuesday, we've got a doubleheader show. At 6:30, we've got Brian Mercier from Catholic Truth, followed by our regular Tuesday show, The Tangled Mess with Dr. Deb Rojas. So that's some really good shows coming up. God bless you on behalf of Lewis, on behalf of all the members of the Four Persons, and for all of our friends that tuned in, thank you so much for supporting us. We'll be a 501c3 soon. We're just waiting for the approval to come back from the government. And thank you for supporting us, and thank you for giving us some of your time on a Sunday. God bless.
Amen.